Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan Burke with Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest. And why do we exist, Divine Intimacy Radio, you ask? I know you were wondering. We exist to draw your hearts and minds to heaven, our hearts and minds to heaven. We live in tumultuous times, difficulties in the world, difficulties in the church. And the purpose of this show is to raise us up above the tumult so that we're able to be equipped by God through union with Him to face the storm and help others to do the same. So today we have special guests on Divine Intimacy Radio, and that is co-hosts extraordinaire Jordan Burke and Kristen Priola, and they are co-hosts of a new show that will be debuting on SpiritualDirection.com called Saints and Sages. Yep. So welcome to the show. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio.
It's Thank good to you. Be here, even though I'm here normally anyway, but it's right. Good to be on this side of the mic.
They're right. So Jordan is, Jordan is, of course, my son, if you didn't hear his catch the last name. Yeah. But he's normally the producer of Divine Intimacy Radio. And Kristen has been a longtime worker in the vineyard of the Avila Institute, helping to get events all around the world. And we got a lot of events.
Mm-hmm. 15 next year.
15 next year. Wow. So we're sold out for most of the part next mm-hmm. year. All right, good. So, all right, you guys. Now, you know, usually I'm in control. You're a little bit in control today, I think.
It's a crossover. We'll ask some questions, and then you ask some questions.
Okay.
And then that way.
Good. Well, can I start with just what is Saints and Sages about, and then we'll go the other way, because I'm very excited about this podcast. You know, who are you trying to reach? You know, just tell me what your thoughts are.
You want?
Yeah. Well, Saints and Sages is really an exciting podcast that's coming out for young adults. And really, it's about the wisdom of the saints and how it's relevant for our listeners, especially millennials. So,
yeah, we're really excited to do it. I think there is a maybe not a lack of understanding, but there's so much history to the saints.
Yeah,
and it's so applicable to everything that we're going through in modern times.
Yeah,
and I don't think a lot of people make those connections. So we're trying to make those connections.
Great, very good. Yeah. And what you have any sense of when the show might launch, you know, hard launch? I know we've been working on different aspects of production.
This November.
So
look out for
2019.
It.
So if you're listening to the recording, it's already here and it's on SpiritualDirection.com. That's where they'll be able to find it.
Yeah.
SpiritualDirection.com, and also what other will it be on iTunes?
It'll be on iTunes, Spotify. It'll
Stitcher.
Be yeah, anywhere you get your podcast. But if you want to know when it comes out, go to spiritualdirection.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, you'll see, enter your email, and you'll get a notification as soon as it's live.
Right. So if you're in the age range, young adults, or you have friends who are young adults, then subscribe or tell them about the coming show. And if you subscribe now, you'll get a notice when everything's up and running.
Yep.
Good. And of course, if you're curious about the saints and their history and modern day topics about their wisdom and everything like that, you don't have to be a young adult. You can be anyone and listen.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it's just, you know, you guys are young adults. And, one of the reasons we decided to do the show was Kristen and I were involved with a local college ministry here in Birmingham. And then Kristen asked, hey, if there was anything we could do a podcast on to help you grow in your faith, what would it be? And it was predominantly on saints, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it? So that's why we decided to call it, to do it on saints in the first place.
Endless conversation about the saints, because there's so many of them.
Cool. Very good. All right. Well, what questions do you guys have for me?
Want to go with the first one?
Yeah, definitely. So we have been talking about prayer.
Yeah.
And how it's so important, and kind of just like, what is the difference between meditation and mindfulness?
Okay.
So let's see.
Yeah, our first episode, we pulled no punches.
So. Okay.
We went for it.
Yeah. Mindfulness versus meditation, because it's so prevalent now.
Mindfulness is.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
yeah.
even people talking about meditation and not necessarily knowing what it is.
Sure.
The different aspects. And so for people who are seeking out authentic Catholic tradition, or mm-hmm. even an understanding, a healthy understanding of what meditation is at its base, that's what we tried to approach with using Teresa of Avila because of, you know,
It's our feast day today.
And that worked out perfectly.
The day we're recording. Anyway. Yeah. I mean, now who knows?
No coincidence.
Yeah. Because we're live streaming, so everybody's hearing this on our feast day. When this airs on Sunday or some future recording, you know. But it's a perfect day to be talking about mental prayer.
So if you're curious about what meditation is versus mindfulness, definitely go back and listen to part one series once it's out.
Yeah.
But right now, Dan, really, what is meditation in your words, and what is it in general? And then what is the difference between vocal and mental prayer?
So meditation is just this idea of filling your heart and mind with God. It's giving yourself attention, special attention to God. The best way to understand meditation in terms of a form of prayer is, and a lot of people really miss this, it's a form of prayer that's a dedicated focus on God and on loving Him and learning from Him, which is different than times of prayer where you do petition or asking for things, that sort of thing. The best example would be husband and wife on a date, you know, where they're just focused on one another. It wouldn't be cool to be talking about things not related to the relationship or whatever. It's just about, hey, I'm here to love you, you're here to love me. That's what mental prayer, meditation, is really about. Vocal prayer is just praying prayers that somebody else wrote. It's not that complicated. It doesn't mean they're vocal in the sense that you say them out loud, although that's very common. So that's not a real big problem to talk about it that way. But vocal prayer is mostly about prayers that somebody else wrote. Now, vocal prayer can be mental prayer if it's really done with attention and devotion. Hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
So you can pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be. And so that's a prayer if you have some relative attention to what you're saying or whatever. But if you pray something like this, Our Father, and you might consider that He's a good Father who's in heaven, who's distinct, and He's our Creator and we're His creature. Hallowed be Thy name. So we might echo internally this idea of, Lord, we want everyone to love You and to give You the respect that You deserve.
It's literally getting to the definition of meditation, which is focusing on these the aspects of the prayer.
Right.
Like you said, but leading towards Christ.
Right. So you can see when I was praying it that way, it actually affected me emotionally, even as I'm doing it, because I was feeling it as I'm doing it. So vocal prayer can be mental prayer, but meditation is mental prayer too, but it's a specific approach to prayer typically where we're focusing on the person and work of Jesus through the Gospels.
Out of curiosity, where does Lectio Divina fall on that scale?
Lectio Divina is meditation.
Okay.
That falls in the meditation realm because we're putting ourselves in the presence of God, we're reading, we're reflecting, you know, and we're conversing and we're resting. You know, it's just kind of this very intimate desire that we're expressing to God and working to know Him, you know, the beginning of the Christian life. Like, you can't follow Jesus unless you know Him, right?
Right. Yeah.
So the beginning of the Christian life, when you say yes to God, whether you've been baptized and confirmed or whatever, but at some point, you know, you're just now saying, yeah, I'm all in. It's like, well, how do you follow someone you don't know? Hmm. Right? So Jesus says, take up your cross. It's like, well, what does that mean? Well, you know, what does it mean to follow Him? You've got to know Him to follow Him. Where's He going? What's He doing? What's important? What does He say that's important? How does He live? How do we emulate what He lives? You know, how do you know that? Scripture. So it's mostly scriptural based.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely. So that's really just being a disciple of Christ, like we're called to be.
It is. It is. And really, you can't be a disciple of Christ. And I'll say this pretty strongly. You talked about pulling no punches. You can't be a disciple of Christ if you don't know Him. And if you're not practicing daily mental prayer, that means, de facto, you are not getting to know Him. So as an example, Kristen, you're newly married, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I asked your husband, and I said, hey, William, are you getting to know Kristen? And he says, yes, of course I am. And I say, well, when was the last time you were home? Well, I haven't been home since we've been married. Well, wait a minute. You're married. You say you're getting to know your wife, and you claim you love her, but you don't spend any time with her. That's not real, of course, right? You're together all the time. So similarly with God, you can't pretend to be a Christian or claim it or claim to be doing well in your Christian life or to be healthy in your Christian life if you're not paying attention to Him, spending time with Him, getting to know Him.
So that sounds a lot like what we were leading into in our first episode with what Saint Teresa of Avila talks about with the interior castles.
Right.
Could you expand on that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the whole work of Interior Castle was written to help. Teresa of Avila was commanded under obedience, actually, to write the book. Everything she wrote, she didn't want to write. It's funny because she's depicted all the time with a pen in her statues, or very commonly, because she wrote so much, and she did it in a very short period of time. But she didn't want to do any of it. She was commanded to do it. And part of it was she didn't want to talk about her own interior life. Most of it was, I want you to write about you. So they told her, you write about your life and do an autobiography. And so she's wrestling with that. She even is very honest. She's one of the things I love about her, totally transparent, honest, you know, all of that. But so she writes about her life, and then about 10 years later she had to write about prayer and the process of prayer and the process of deepening relationship with God. And so the whole book of the Interior Castle is about seven mansions, but she says there's a lot more rooms and all kinds of complexity to it. But it's this idea of progressively moving from the beginning stages of prayer and relationship to the deepest, highest, I know, you know, those are two contrasting, but you get what I'm saying, yeah, to the deepest kind of union with God.
Most meaningful.
The most meaningful, the most powerful, where the saints are.
Yeah.
Right? So how do we move from, you know, mediocre in our spiritual life to becoming a saint? She describes that in the Interior Castle with respect to the progress of the soul, progress in love of God, progress in humility, all of that, and giving ourselves to Him,
okay,
in prayer.
That makes sense.
Good.
So, yeah, I read that St. Teresa of Avila was really down to earth, but also that she, like, loved silence and just being by, yeah, herself. She was a storyteller and, like, yeah, being with people, but also just loved reflecting on who Christ was. So this world is really distracting, and it can be easy to just get caught up in the day-to-day motions of life. And you're saying that meditation is critical.
Yeah.
Like, this is an important part of the Christian life. So how can we find a time and space to not just be babbling or just, like, talking to God really, yeah, quickly, like with the rosary or something, but really sitting down and meditating?
Well, it's what I wrote. It's what I wrote Into the Deep about, right? So I'm just putting that up so folks can see it on
Facebook. SpiritualDirection.com, EWTN catalog, right?
Yeah, right. You can get it at EWTN's religious catalog.
You can even buy it at Target, actually. I just looked
You're
that
kidding
up.
Me.
I just saw that yesterday.
That's funny. That's great. That's kind of cool, actually.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm.
So, Oh, you know what? We're up to a break. So I'll tell you what. I just realized that. When we get back, then I'll come back to your question, which is how do we build a life of daily prayer? Is that really it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll do that when we come back. Hey friends, this is Dan Burke. If you are blessed by the work of Divine Intimacy Radio, if we've helped you with your spiritual life through spiritualdirection.com, or if you want to join in and change the world through the Avila Institute High Calling Program, where we're now forming men in more than five dioceses around the country to enter into seminary to be holy priests, please consider helping us out with a monthly donation. Go to avila-institute.org, click on the donate button, and give us a hand if you would.
If you've always wanted to delve into the richness of the spiritual lives of the saints, the Avila Institute for Spiritual Formation offers you the unique opportunity to learn more about Catholic spiritual theology through live, interactive online courses. Whether you are seeking personal enrichment, continuing education, or a graduate certificate in spiritual theology, the Avila Institute can help. Just go to www.avila-institute.com to start your spiritual journey today.
This is Dan Burke, and I usually say this is Dan and Stephanie Burke. She has not been fired, if people have been wondering, but this is the second half of the show.
It would be a problem.
It would be a serious problem because we're married, you know, but no, she's off caring for her mother, so please pray for that. Mom's recovering from surgery, and but today we have special guests, Christian Priola and Jordan Burke, who are co-hosts of a new podcast, which I'm very excited about, very excited to support, called Saints and Sages. And we're introducing you to that podcast, which will show up at spiritualdirection.com soon. So before the break, you asked me about how do we establish a daily practice of mental prayer. And it's not complicated. First thing is sacred time, right? Which is we have to commit time to God. We have to say, look, you know, again, back to being newly married. If you guys want to have a great relationship, you will ensure that on a regular basis, you schedule time just for each other, right? So similarly with God, if we want to grow in a relationship with God, we have to schedule specific time to be together. And I don't know anybody who's holy or effective at prayer that doesn't do that every day at the same time. Why? Monkeys. Monkeys is why. Do you guys know about monkeys?
I think you wrote about it in Into the Deep.
Right. That's right. That's right. So monkeys is distractions. And, you know, monkeys are distractions. And the more distractions, monkeys are just like thoughts that are bugging you, that get in the way of paying attention to God. And one of the secrets to the biggest problem with prayer is distractions. You know, yep. That's the issue. So a lot of these secrets are related to how do we pay attention to God and avoid the distractions. So groggy monkeys are rarely cause a ruckus. So that's why it's good to start your prayer in the morning when you're a little groggy. That's for me anyway. So same time every day, same amount of time every day, so 10 minutes, whatever it is, 5 minutes if you're just starting, 10 minutes is fine, 15, 30.
Yeah, you can't expect to sit down and say, I'm going to do an hour every morning.
No.
It's not going to work out too well.
You know the devil loves those kind of commitments.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because then what he does is you try it, he knows you're going to fail, and then you make the dumb commitment, right?
Yeah.
And then he says, that was a really great idea.
Yeah.
Right? Because he knows you're going to fail. And then he says, yeah, you do that. That's going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
And then the next day when you fail, he'll kick you in the head and criticize you for failing, right? But no, you got to start with baby steps. You know, whatever. If you've never done it before, 5 minutes is a great place to start.
So what am I doing in those 5 minutes? Like, what does that look like practically?
Okay, I like that question.
Mm-hmm.
What you're doing practically is you're sitting in hopefully a sacred space.
With a candle?
That would be great. I mean, yeah, just go to, I don't know, some kind of store and spend $5 and get yourself a candle. Just something you can look at and focus on. It also kind of connotates, you know, something's important going on here. You light a candle, you can have a little icon. Very inexpensive. The first icon I started with was like $15, Jesus and Mary, and had a little hinge on it. And in between that, I put the candle, you know. And it was actually in the basement of our home, and Jordan and I used to use it together.
The window well altar.
Yeah.
So now you're talking about sacred space.
I am.
So you said sacred time and then sacred space.
Good. You're being a good host.
It's just
there.
Into the deep.
That's right. It's good. So you set up a sacred space, and then you a specific time, and you show up. And when you show up, all you got to do is, you know, how do you talk to somebody you love? You know, and you get your Bible, and usually the book of John, I think, is the best in terms of the way it's written. The Gospel of St. John is the best of the New Testament books to start with. And you just begin to read, and quietly, you know, first you say, Lord, thank you for being present. Thank you, you know, help me to know you. I really want to know you. And you begin to read quietly, recognizing God is there. And if you have a question, ask him. If you have some sort of musing about the text, about what you're encountering, ask him, talk to him about it. You know, it might draw you to repentance, might draw you to joy. Say it, you know. My wife and I, when we were first courting, used to read together almost daily. So we'd pray together daily. We were actually lived in separate states. We'd do it over Skype, I think, at the time. So we'd do Liturgy of the Hours, and we'd read a book. And it's similar. I'd read a part, and she'd read a part, and we'd talk about it. So with God, we don't always hear his voice, right? But we know he's present with us. And so we just express, you know, what we're thinking and how we feel about what we're reading.
Let me ask you this. I just had this thought, now, out of curiosity. What about journaling in that time?
Yeah.
So if you have a thought, well, and this actually leads into something else that we wanted to ask, which was, I guess this is a two-part question. What about journaling is the first part?
Yeah.
And the second part would be this part of meditation, that the mainstream meditation where people think you have to clear your thoughts.
Right.
Yeah, emptying yourself.
Yeah. So emptying yourself or clearing your thoughts is a non-Christian Eastern concept, and it's radically contrary to Christian meditation. If you think of meditation, another way to think of meditation is that it's it's similar to the spousal union, when the most intimate relationship between husband and wife come together. You know, you wouldn't somehow blank yourself out in that context with when you're with your spouse. Or if you're back to the date analogy, if you said, you know, usually when people talk about this managing the thoughts thing, they'll say, well, pick a sacred word, repeat it over and over. They use the term mantra. Well, so let's say you picked love, and I'm with my wife and I want to love my wife because we have a real relationship. And just like with God, and I pick the word love and I want to express love to her, right? Kind of, you get the analogy. And I just said to her, and I just said love, and she said, and then she looks at me, right? And it's like, okay. And I say love again, and she says, well, I love you too, honey. But with this glazed over look, I say love again. She says, are you okay? And I say love again. And then she's going, okay, Jordan, call the police. Call the ambulance. You know, there's something wrong with him. It doesn't work that way. I mean,
it's
actually
not a conversation.
It's not a relationship. Yeah. You can claim it is, but it's a lie.
Yeah.
This is, of course, popularly known as centering prayer, is what we're talking about. I even took a course on it, you know, just so that, you know, I wouldn't be talking about it in app, you know, without experiencing it, although I've read all the books and all of that. But I asked the woman in the course, I said, so what if God talks back to me? Which would be
normal.
Called what? A relationship.
Yeah.
Normal.
Yeah.
She said, oh, you set that aside. And it's like, so then if, and back to that same analogy, I say love and she says, I love you too. And I say, and I just ignore what she says to me. That's not relationship. That's just thought management. Thought management is not prayer. That's mindfulness, is thought management.
Yeah.
It's not prayer.
Well, and St. Teresa, I don't know the quote. I'm not going to attempt it because I'd butcher it. But she basically said it's absurd trying to clear your thoughts.
She did. She said,
she may have actually used that language. Yeah.
Well, listen, you know, so I brought forward a new translation or an updated translation of a book by St. Peter of Alcantara, who was her spiritual director. And there was a controversy in that time where people were arguing with Teresa and saying, no, 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 St. Peter agrees with us. You're supposed to manage your thoughts. And she, in writing, says, no, he and I are on the same page, and that is, you don't do that. All you do is you give your heart and mind to God. You fill your heart and mind with God. You give yourself to the Beloved, and the Beloved receives your love. That's authentic.
Yeah,
authentic prayer. So I that was fun to talk about, but I don't know if I'm still on track.
No, I think you answered the question, and it's hard because I think why people are so attracted to meditation in the first place is because we live in such an ADD culture.
Right.
Whether it's checking our phone every 20 minutes, we can't focus.
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. Everybody wants to be able to spend that time in silence, even if they don't necessarily understand.
Right.
You know what it is.
And you know why I think mindfulness and these Eastern meditation practices are interesting to people is because I think they're inspired demonically. So if you look at Jon Kabat-Zinn, who was the founder of, I think it's NBTR, but it's this, he was at a retreat. He's a Buddhist, right? Mm-hmm. He's at a retreat and he has a vision. Okay, Buddhists are not deistic. They don't believe in a God. He has a vision. Okay, where is that from?
Yeah.
It's not from him. It's from outside of him.
And if
what
it's
is
not
that?
God.
That's demonic, okay? Yeah. And the vision said to him, hey, popularize this thing. Hide the Buddhism. Oh, so we have deception. Is that from God?
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
There's no chance it's from God.
Yeah.
So then he creates this system, and it's called mindfulness, and you know, and by the way, it's in the book, a great book by Susan Brinkman, a foreword by Anthony Clark, PhD, who is a doctor in Buddhist and Christian Chinese studies. He's also a theologian in his own right, and she, you know, he wrote the foreword. He checked out the book. She debunks the bad research, which secular scientists are saying, this is bunk, this is a fad, this is a joke,
This
isn't good. So the secular scientists are saying there's a problem with all of this phony research. Good psychologists, Alison Ricard, who's head of the Catholic Therapist Association, this, you shouldn't be doing this, right? On EWTN, you know, you won't find mindfulness on any EWTN radio show. You won't find it anywhere. Is that because Susan Brinkman in this book? No, it's because we have a theology department at EWTN, yeah, and we check all of these things out, and when people write about it and say, hey, they want to promote it, and the answer is no. So it's really, it's demonically inspired. That's why it works, because the enemy wants to give you some little goo-hoo good feelings.
Well, placebos work too, but...
Right, that's right. Yeah. But what really works? Look, Jesus said, my peace I give you, my peace I leave with you. Does he need a little wonderful fat Buddha dude to help us out with that? Or do you think he's capable of giving us the peace he promised?
Yeah.
I think he's capable. Come on, folks.
Well, now that we got you fired up, we have to actually end the show. So,
gosh, man. Okay. So anyway, I just, you know, it's so ridiculous. And it's, you know, what's the motivation? Money is behind it. You'll never get any of these courses for free. Avila Institute, all that we do, EWTN, guess what? You can get it for free. Do we charge for courses? Yes, for people who can help us cover our costs. But we don't make money. I don't make money on any of this stuff. I do not have an income from any of this stuff. That's one of the secrets that reveals also some of the motivation behind all this pop psychology and junk that's making its way into the Catholic Church. Now I'm over time, but yeah. It's in such an important topic. I'm excited for the new Saints and Sages podcast. Go to spiritualdirection.com to sign up. If you have heard about mindfulness and you want to learn more, go to EWTN Religious Catalog or spiritualdirection.com and pick up a Catholic guide to mindfulness, and you can debunk that nonsense and find the real peace that passes understanding that Christ promises us. And I think you get to say the finishing words today, don't you, on the show?
Here are the words.
Yeah, this is Saints and Sages.
Here are the words.
Here are the words. Oh, okay. Yeah, our time is up. So until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you with whole and entire spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.